up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast, where we talk about healing, growing, evolving, and having the tough conversations.
Yes, and we also talk about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but platonic relationships.
Like the relationship I have with my best friend, Megan Ashley, of 20 years.
20 years, baby.
Yes, baby. Do you know for sure?
I think I know for sure, but what I do know for sure is after this episode, you're going to know something for sure. Because he brought me to a very wild wilderness. I mean, yeah. Now he's brought me to that place, and I've read his word more than I've ever read his word in my life.
Yeah.
And it is wildly changing the way that I am seeing everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying not to go back to a place where I'm too overzealous and not walking in humility, because I don't want to be everyone's going to hell.
Yeah,
I don't want to be that because I know that that's not helpful.
You're wrong.
It's not helpful at all. I don't think it's helpful at all. But I'm also in a place where I know his truth.
Yeah.
And when you know it, you're responsible for what you know, not how you feel.
Yeah.
And I know certain things now. And so trying to navigate through what you know and give that and love, it feels very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, this feels harder now than it ever has felt before.
Yeah.
And having this platform makes it even harder.
For sure. Because y'all have, it will cost y'all a lot to tell the truth.
Jesus.
It'll cost you fame. It'll cost you money. It'll cost you partnerships. It'll cost you brand deals.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cost you friendships.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cost you peace.
Mm-hmm.
It'll cost you security, even in yourself. And so I understand that tension. Mm. On one end, I know that God has told it, like even in Matthew 28, where he says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I've commanded. So all Christians are commanded to tell the truth, the truth about who God is, the truth about his scriptures, what he said, what he commands. And even that teaching isn't even to present it as optional. That's not solid teaching.
It's not negotiable.
Teaching is presenting it as this requires a response. Right. So that takes some trust and authority and stuff like that. But there's also the other end of, I need wisdom to know when to teach. What to teach, where to teach,
how to teach.
You know what I'm saying? Because some people take that, I'll teach everything. So all y'all are going to hell and da 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 da. And it's like, okay, like people are human. So clearly, would you have received that well?
No.
Right.
Like, so there has to be a winsomeness, a persuasiveness to the way we communicate. And I think y'all are doing it. This conversation is a version of being able to tell the truth, but in a way that actually is sensitive to the way your audience will hear it and respond to it. So,
And one thing that came up for me recently was, I had did my first.
I just have to say, your eyebrows in person, even yours, they're so special. Do y'all ever look at y'all eyebrows?
You got some bomb eyebrows.
I know. I'm like, but what are you saying? They're thick and full.
Thick
and
full.
To mold
guys.
Mine are really thick right now. They need me to
thick all the time, but
I'm so impressed. Go ahead.
Same.
I just was distracted.
She's like, your cheekbones are just ridiculous.
I wasn't listening to you.
That's
no more.
I'll be looking at you. I'll be like, this is not fair.
That's wild.
So not fair.
I just had a recent, my first speaking engagement recently. And I got back to the Airbnb. And I was just kind of laying in bed and I was like, why aren't I scared when I go up there? Not scared in the sense of like, in like a terrifying way, but like, why am I not ever nervous? I'm not nervous to get on stage. I'm not nervous to talk on a mic. I'm not nervous when we get on stage together. And I used to think because I was with her, I wasn't nervous because I had her.
Mm-hmm.
I have her next to me. So of course I'm not nervous because if we fail together. Right.
What?
So it's cool. It's not it. That partnership has always given me comfort.
Yeah.
And then I was up there alone and I didn't feel nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to question because I feel like, you know, you're doing something uncomfortable for you, and it's not uncomfortable for me at all.
Yeah.
I feel more of myself when I'm able to talk about God on a platform. I feel whole.
Yeah.
It makes me feel whole. But as I was talking through it, I realized that that's not the part that makes me scared. It's living it that makes me scared. Mm. It's the responsibility to actually live it.
To do it. To do what you know.
Why is that scary?
Because I know that there are souls attached, and I don't want to ever be responsible for leading anyone in the wrong direction or being deceitful in the way that I'm leading or saying things because I have a gift to do it, but not live it.
Yeah.
And there are so many people I'm discovering in the Bible as I'm reading and learning God's word that didn't end well. And I don't want to not end well.
A lot of them.
And most of them did not end well.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't
end well, like they went to hell.
I mean, I don't know who went to hell and who didn't, but a lot of them didn't end well. Like David was in bed.
They ended in humiliation.
Yeah.
Like it just isolation, rejection.
Moses didn't make it to the promised land.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I don't, and my conversation with God is like, I don't even want this if you don't let me in well. Mm. Don't even give it to me.
No,
let me
be basic. Pull out the Bible now.
Like, so she's like, well, in Romans 6:5.
I gotta do it now.
You can kind of share your thoughts on that. But I don't know if I'm supposed to feel that on stage or when I am able to speak or even with this, like I don't get nervous about it anymore. It doesn't scare me to talk about it, but it scares me more the more I read his word. It frightens me to live this thing.
Yeah.
It's not as easy
as
everyone is kind of making it out to be.
Well, yeah.
It's very difficult and it's scary.
Yeah.
Like it's scary.
Yeah. I think some people would hear you even mention the word fear and, you know, bring up like, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, all stuff. But I think what I hear is reverence.
Yes, that's what it is.
So I think it's different than you being timid. I think it's you acknowledging the weight and the responsibility that you have and knowing that it's important how you show up. I think I carry that, and I think it keeps me. Especially because people really be pimping out God. And I think it scares me to see how easy it is to prostitute your gifts as a means to make yourself feel better and whole and stuff like that when it has nothing to do with the people. And people who started off righteous and started off good, they just, when they see like, oh, if I just quote this real good, I'll feel love. Or if I just, you know, go this way, like that honorarium going to be like, it just becomes so shallow and dare I say demonic. And it's made me like, Lord, I'm afraid because what am I, you got Moses who did what he did. You got, what's his name?
David,
who over here sleep with Bathsheba, acting a fool. You got even people like Miriam in Numbers, like she coming for Moses, like God speaks to us too. She over here got leprosy. It's like, wow. Then you have so much. You have Peter, who even like turns his back on the Lord. And what's been keeping me is Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless. Hear that? Blameless. That's crazy. Before the presence of his glory with great joy. What God is constantly going to do to us is to remind us that we can't keep ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now to him who is able to keep us. And so it puts us in a position where if you don't want to let God down, if you are scared, if you do want to show up with integrity and with a singleness of mind, you just got to need him.
Need him.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel about my gifts now.
What
like
about
taking
him?
It from worldly to godly.
Yeah. Like, is that hard for you? Sorry, I know this is y'all show, but I like asking questions.
I feel like I'm in that transition, like my stand-up, my comedy, as I'm changing, I built my platform on vulnerability and being real, and I'm not who, I'm slowly changing into somebody different opposed to who people started following, you know? And it's like, I don't really want to say that on stage anymore, or it feels like an act now. Yeah. It's not really like in my heart to say that. Yeah. I had that experience on a couple of my shows. Like, I'm like, these are 5-year old jokes, but they hit.
They work.
I gotta use this until I find some new material. But it's like,
but I always try to encourage her that she's funny.
For sure.
It's just who she is. It's a gift. And I really do believe it's an actual gift that God gave her because there's so much in scripture that talks about what laughter does for people.
For sure.
You're a curator of joy.
Yeah.
But just, changing that gift but maneuvering it into who I am today. Yeah. Like certain things just don't feel as right saying.
Yeah.
I'm still saying it up there though, because it's like, I ain't got a new say yet.
Yeah.
But it's like maneuvering through that, you know? And I'm very aware of it. Like I put in some new stuff. I put in some stuff I've been going through lately, but still like, weeding out the old and bringing in my gift into this new person and still using my laughter, my wittiness, it's just so different.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Yeah.
So
you feel like a kid.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
It's like learning how to walk.
It's it's like, what do I say?
Yeah.
How is that funny? Like, that's not funny.
Yeah. But
me, in the corner at the house. How am I making that joke? Because right now I'm weeping. So I am stomping on the devil's head, walking around the house with oil.
What were you doing?
Ba-ba-ba. Practicing my tongues.
That's funny. That's the joke right there.
It's like, that's not funny to me yet.
I'm not lying.
I haven't made it through. I am weeping. I'm like, God. I'll be like, devil, your head is beneath my foot. It's like, relax. But it's like, no, don't relax. I have to say that. I don't care. I'll be talking to them spirits. You know when you're in the dark and you be like, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Something is in here. I felt it. Get out of my room. All this clutter. I thought that jacket was a demon.
Bro.
Yeah. So, whatever.
So, what do I do, Jackie?
I'm just saying the transition.
Yeah.
It's just like, and then I don't want all my content to be like, I don't know. I'm overthinking it.
Do you feel like you're overthinking it?
No, I'm just like, be yourself. Whatever you feel in the moment, be yourself. And like you said, the transition is happening publicly. Mm. So I feel like, don't judge me.
You could take this, do it, whatever you want with it. I would also offer, you probably have done it already, taking time to just Sabbath.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm. And just plan that stuff out with the Lord and think through it with the Lord. Because the Lord is funny. So he can give you jokes.
He's hilarious.
He's
very comical. You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like God is sarcastic? Because I feel like he's very, like, I don't know sarcastic in the definition. Like, I don't want to put, like, a negative label on him. But when he
in
talks
a holy
to me,
way, yes.
He is very,
not petty to be mean.
He has dry humor with me.
Even the whole conversation with conversation with Job, it's
like where were you? That was kind of why would you say that? He was so hurt.
Yeah,
and he thought he was doing. Those are the things that scare me.
Mm-hmm. What scares you?
Those, because
this is a different fear
me.
We're addressing now.
Now that is a different fear.
So what's the fear?
Like, now that's scary.
to think that you are okay. So in my mind, and you are biblical scholar. I believe. No, you are. The way that you know the
way
the word,
you break it
it's
down.
Insane.
Okay.
For some people, eating is an emotional experience. So when it comes to managing your weight, it makes sense that Noom has taken a psychology-based approach. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Noom's psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Based on sample 4,272 Noomers, 98% say that Noom helped them change their habits and behaviors for good. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
So in my head, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Job was a man of great integrity. He had He did. He was by the book. Mm-hmm. God loved Job mm-hmm. and had a hedge of protection around him because he was a great man, mm-hmm. right?
I don't even know where it is. That's how much of a scholar I am. I don't know where it is.
Job, you know where Job is.
You said that's how much of a scholar I am.
I don't know where it is.
I am in the, what's it called? The index.
You know where it is.
New Testament.
Old Testament. But I don't know what
Old
part.
Testament. I mean,
Genesis, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 1 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther.
So it's after Chronicles.
Okay.
Go ahead. There.
Tell your story. There we go. Man of Integrity. Okay. After Nehemiah.
There you go. So to think that you're doing everything right, mm-hmm. in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm honoring, I'm doing, I love my God. I worship him. Yeah. I'm doing everything that he's asked me to do.
Yeah.
And even Job had pride yeah. that had to be purged from him.
Yeah.
And when he goes to God in full vulnerability after his friends
yeah.
freaking
did the most.
Oh my God. They yeah. jacked them up. Yeah. I'm like, y'all could have just stayed there and been quiet.
Yeah.
The second the silence was released, that's what y'all did.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So after his friends do that, he's going to God and he's in this suffering. And he's still defending God to his friends mm-hmm. in the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes to God in full vulnerability. And God knows that it wasn't even Satan that brought Job up.
Mm.
It was God that brought him up.
Right.
And then your response to him is, where were you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
That scares me.
Why?
Not scares me, but that makes me like, okay. So, was that necessary?
I want to get at why that scares you.
I don't know if scared is the right word,
okay.
but it makes me frustrated
okay.
because is that necessary?
Okay.
You know I'm suffering and it wasn't even Satan that brought me up.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
brought me up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a good guy.
Uh-huh.
At least I'm trying to be. Uh-huh. And I'm never going to be perfect because I'm human.
Mm-hmm.
So even this little ounce of pride mm-hmm. that's in me, you're going to come at me in this way
mm-hmm.
when I'm coming to you in full vulnerability
mm-hmm.
and I'm suffering because you
mm-hmm.
and that's your response to me. There was no comfort in that.
Yeah.
Where were you
yeah.
when I created the, like,
yeah.
First of all, he didn't even say, where were you? Who is this that's trying to obstruct my plan? That's how you come at me.
Yeah.
And I'm crying to you.
Mm-hmm.
God, I hate this. This sucks. Everything has left me. Mm. My wife is telling me to give up and just curse you.
Mm-hmm.
My friends are blaming me for what's happening and questioning you. And
mm.
I'm coming to you in full vulnerability because I trust you. And that's your response to me.
Yeah.
Who is this that's trying to obstruct my plan? And where were you when I created the heavens and the earth?
Yeah.
That is a lot.
It is a lot.
And I feel that he does it to me often.
You feel this in your bones.
Mm-hmm. I do because I yeah. feel like that's what he does to me
yeah.
often. And I'm like, when does that come?
What do you want him to do?
I want him to be nicer to me.
Okay, there we go.
I want him to be nicer to me. Okay. When I don't want him to be, I don't want that.
Mm.
I don't want you to ask me that hard question because you know I wasn't there.
Yeah.
So why would you ask me that?
Yeah.
You knew I wasn't there.
Yeah.
And you also know that I didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do everything to please you.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have, which is why you've had this hedge of protection around me.
Yeah.
Why did God ask Job that? To make him think?
Yeah. So I want to get back to you because I don't want to let up.
But I'm saying, because that would answer your question. Like, ask me that. But why did, what was God's reasoning behind doing it like
anytime God asks a question, it is usually, one, the information never benefits him or serves him.
Right.
Because he knows the answer to every question he asks us. The projected curiosity of God, because he's not actually curious, is to reveal or to test. So you got the first question, one of the first questions we see in scripture is Genesis 3, Adam, where are you? He knows where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But if Adam answers that question, he has to confess where he is and why he's there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the question was actually good. I'm trying to create space for you to confess
wow.
so that we can be right.
Wow.
Right? You, Cain, where's your brother Abel?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
He knows where he is.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to tell the truth, right? Hey, disciples, where are we to get bread? He said this to test them, right? And so it, when God is asking Job questions, it is to humble him in a very hard way. But it's not like the humbling didn't result in exaltation.
Right.
He got more than what he had.
Yeah.
His joy, his wealth, all of it was restored. And so I think sometimes even in our anxiety around certain texts, I think it's always helpful for us to look at how the person in the narrative respond to the discipline, right? Mm-hmm. He responded in silence and in submission and eventually joy. You even got stuff like Hagar in Genesis 16, you know what I'm saying? Where she leaves Abraham's home, ends up in the wilderness and sees God. He ends up sending her back, you know what I'm saying? But she ends up saying to him, "You are the God of seeing." Mm-hmm. We read that text and we feel a way that God sent her back into suffering. She didn't even feel a way though. Mm-hmm. She praised. And so looking to the how the people in the narrative feel should inform how we feel. Now, that isn't to dismiss how you feel, right? But I think sometimes we also have this presupposition in our minds that if we're good people, if we're faithful, if we're right, if we're doing all that we can, we shouldn't be suffering like we do.
Lord.
If that's the case, Jesus shouldn't have suffered either.
Right.
He's literally the only perfect one who suffered the most.
Right.
And so I think looking at Jesus's suffering has given me context for my own, which is to say a servant will never be greater than its master. And so if Jesus, your son, suffer, and the point, Jesus asked God a question and God didn't even respond. Imagine that kind of abandonment, that kind of rejection. That kind of confusion. You know what I'm saying?
When you're actually perfect.
You're God. You're his son. And so like, I say that because I can hear your frustration. I can hear the pain, but I think what scripture would say is keep looking at Jesus. He went through worse than you.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he can carry you through this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like God never disciplines us from any other place than love. Never.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Never. Because if he's holy, right? Let's get back to this idea of holiness. If he's holy, holiness isn't just that God is judgmental, which I think we have a tendency to only think about holiness in terms of wrath and judgment and hell. Holiness means that God cannot sin. If he cannot sin, it means he can't lie to you. Mm-hmm. He can't abuse you. Mm-hmm. He can't deceive you. Mm-hmm. He won't dishonor you. Like, it means that everything he does is morally righteous and pure and just and kind and good. So even if it hurts us, he's being good to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's also a mystery component, right? Yeah. Because it doesn't make sense that pain should be good.
Right.
But that's just the way the kingdom is set up.
So how do you feel like you can, and I guess I'm learning this new idea of like grace. I don't know why God asked me this randomly when we were in New York. God, we're just minding our own business, walking the streets in New York. It's one of my favorite places. Yeah. The weather was beautiful. I'm like, oh, I love it here. I'm just going to chill, not really think about a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And God's like, where's my grace? And I was like, why would you ask me that?
I am having fun.
You tired of him asking questions.
I'm like, I'm not bothering you.
Yeah.
I'm not bothering anyone. Yeah. I'm just out here I'm not bothering anyone.
I'm not doing
anything to anyone. Why are you asking me that? I'm just enjoying these smelly streets of New York.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'm doing.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, what's my grace?
Hmm.
And I'm like,
no, leave me alone.
So I went down this rabbit hole of what's God's grace.
Are you like on the street when this is happening?
I'm on the street. She was with me and I'm like, what is happening here? Like, what's God's grace? And we're getting into this whole dialogue about what God's grace is. And I'm asking my close friends, like, what do you guys think God's grace is? I'm just curious.
Yeah,
what's the idea of God's grace? And I was like, and then I started asking him questions. Why didn't you define it as clearly as you define love?
Mm.
And he said, well, I didn't. And I said, well, no, I don't think you did. I don't think you did. I don't see where you said love is patient. Love is kind. I mean, you broke it down.
That's good.
Right? You didn't do that with grace. He's like, I didn't.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, so where would you like me to begin with this? He was like, well, what's, what's the first thing that comes to you? And it was always, obviously, Paul, God's grace is sufficient for me. And he was like, well, what was happening there? I'm like, okay, well, fine. Here we go. You know, going through the scripture. And out of 130 something verses of grace that is mentioned in the Bible, Paul wrote 86 of them. And so I would think that Paul was the authority on grace, in my opinion, outside of Jesus.
These days, a lot of people are learning about all the benefits of fasting, like weight loss, mental and physical performance, and gut health, but worry about the whole not eating part. Well, that's exactly why Prolon was created. Introducing Prolon, a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. You guys listen, if I was going to start a nutrition program, Prolon is exactly what I'd use. It's convenient, backed by Nobel-winning science, and it works. It's no wonder why thousands of doctors now recommend Prolon to support healthy blood sugar and cardiovascular health. Right now, Prolon is offering in totality with Megan Ashley listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/totality. That's prolonlife.com/totality. For this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/totality. All right, guys, now back to the show. Okay, you guys, before we continue with this episode, have you ever been on a hunt for a new doctor and you literally asked everyone for their recommendation? Listen, when I moved to Georgia with the kids, I needed to find a new doctor for them. I would ask everyone, so I totally know what this feels like. You ask everybody who you know for a doctor that listens to you, that knows your needs, that makes you feel comfortable. And after weeks of searching and asking everyone around town, you finally found the one. It's close to the kids' school. It's close to your house. It's amazing. All the boxes are checked. So then you call the office, you make an appointment, and they actually have an available appointment. Everything is working out just right. But then the receptionist tells you that the perfect doctor that you have searched all over for does not take your insurance. I'm telling you right now, wipe the tears, put away the ice cream, and head over to ZocDoc to find and book a doctor who is right for you and takes your insurance. ZocDoc is a free app where you can find amazing doctors and book appointments online. We're talking about booking appointments with thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat almost every and any condition you're searching for. These doctors all have verified reviews from actual real patients, not robots. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same day appointments. You can find the doctor you want and book them immediately with just a few app taps. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. Go to ZocDoc.com/totality and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/totality. ZocDoc.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show.
And what I came to is that maybe grace isn't the removal of the suffering, but it's the sustaining in the suffering. And I thought that grace was more of an insurance policy. Like I could just sin because God's grace. And you got to give people grace and you got to give yourself grace. And then I started to wonder that, is grace something that is, I don't know if there's levels to it, but it started to become to me that grace was an exchange of something. So when you give me this, then I'll give you your grace. And the example that he brought to me in my head was my son, Eli. If he does something and I punish him and I say, you did, like, your actions were wrong, so now your punishment is 3 weeks of grounding. You're grounded for 3 weeks. But if there was a heart change, then I might change that 3 weeks to a week and a half. And that's grace. It's not that I removed it, but I see that there was a change in posture. So I might lift it a little bit quicker, or sustain you in it. But there had to have been an exchange. I don't know if that's scripture or not, but it feels that when Paul came to the conclusion that you weren't removing this thorn from me, because he realized that while this thorn is here, it's causing me to come fall on my knees and come before you. So that thorn is not going to leave me because it's the thing that drives me closer to you. In that, there was an acknowledgement and an exchange of, here's my vulnerability and honesty and weakness, and then God's grace was given. But the thorn was never removed. So is this a thing of...
You just be out here thinking. You like a Rubik's Cube a little bit. you just be turning it and twisting it.
What?
Like, we turn the red next
to
the
blues and the yellows. That's nice.
Trying to... Because I like clarity.
Yes.
I like to be clear.
Yes.
And once I'm clear, I like clear instructions. I don't want you to take me through a maze. Tell me what you want. I'll give you that. I just want whatever you want. I don't mind. I don't even want my will. Tell me. You could totally have that.
Okay.
I don't even want a free will.
Yeah.
I get it. You love me.
I don't even want it.
I don't want that.
You can have it.
You can have it.
God's gift of free will. No.
It doesn't feel like a gift right now. It feels like I want you to take this. You can have it. I trust you. I believe in you.
Yep.
Give me step by step.
That's good.
Clear instructions.
Yeah.
And so that is where I'm coming to with this grace thing. And I don't know if I'm on the right path, but it feels like maybe we have presented in our faith in the church this idea of grace that may not really be what grace really is.
I think grace is complex.
Okay.
Because God is. You know, and so I think grace is like glory. It's a word that can be defined, but even the definition isn't the fullest definition. You know what I'm saying? Because grace obviously is plainly exercised in the fact that we were born sinners, well, made image bearers, born sinners, deserve God's wrath. In God's grace, he sends his son to die for us, raised from the dead, sends his Holy Spirit to empower us to live holy and righteous lives, right? And in that, we also receive grace by way of gifts. Like Paul talks about in Romans 12, how spiritual gifts are graces that God has given us. So there's this exchange that you speak to. There's Jesus coming. That's a grace. There's spiritual gifts. That's a grace. But there's this conversation where y'all went and prayed, right? Like, and God is most likely giving y'all unity, giving y'all clarity, giving y'all insight. That's a grace. And so I think grace is.
But it's something that we have to.
No, not necessarily. So it's not
something we have to do.
Because grace.
I'm just trying to make the
face. How do I say this?
How do I get more grace is what I'm saying.
Like let's say somebody is outside with a gift and you are on the other side of the door, right? And to exchange the gift, you have to open the door, right? But God is the one who unlocks it. And so it's like, you could do the exchange all day, but if God doesn't unlock the door, even making it possible. So that's really the grace is that, like,
the opportunity.
It doesn't even matter that he had a thorn and God didn't remove it. The grace is that he even knows God. The grace is that he even knows how to pray. The grace is that he even you know what I'm saying? Like, the grace is that God has did it. Like, God is generous. Like, God has given you a mind to understand him. God has given you a church to learn about him. God has given you friendship so that you could have some comfort, dialogue even in your curiosity. Like, grace is you receiving something you don't deserve. And so I think exchange language is, I don't think it's not legitimate, but I wouldn't land there because it still makes it about you, you. And what you do. But it's like, no, like you can't exchange that God ain't even giving you in the first place. It's still his. So you're just giving it to him back. It's just like, here's the thing that you gave me back to you. It's all his. It's all his. Your body. It's all his. All of it is grace. All of it. So I think I don't even know how to answer it as simply or as plainly, because I think grace is in everything and everywhere. I think it's so much more complex, but it's just that God has been kind to us, and we're just on the receiving end of his kindness.
That's helpful.
I hope so.
That's helpful.
Wow.
Just quiet.
You do this a lot. You say a lot.
And then end it on God's good.
And she'd be like,
he's so kind and holy. So. It's like, yeah. Well, go back to the sentence before that. Because my mind's over here. I'm like, do I even know what grace means? I need to start at Genesis. Lord, I'm behind.
Even like in Titus. Titus says God's grace teaches us. So grace is also a teacher. Teaches us to say no to ungodliness. Like, do you understand what a demonic doctrine it is to say that because God is gracious, I can still sin? You know how evil that
Ooh-wee.
Is? That's a doctrine of demons.
Yeah.
That's not scripture.
Yeah.
That's not scripture. Mm-mm. God's grace is that he sent the Son to defeat death and sin so that you could be righteous and holy, right? God, like, that is God's grace, is their ability to walk contrary to your nature.
Wow.
That it is natural for you to be evil. It is natural for you to have doubt. It is natural for you to be unbelieving. But God is like, you know what? I'm gonna send my Son and the Holy Spirit and the church to help you be like me, which you don't even know how to be apart from my grace. So, like, I think it's offensive. Wow. Even in Jude says, hey, I wanted to write y'all something else, but I'm gonna write y'all about these people who sneaking into the church and are teaching that God's grace is licensed to be sensual. So even in the scriptures, they're coming against this idea that grace is an excuse to sin. It's not.
It's not.
It's not.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's not. And it's I don't think God takes that lightly.
Yeah.
Because grace cost his Son his life.
You can't, that should convict you. Yeah.
God's grace cost his Son his life. And you want to stomp on the blood of Jesus to scratch your itch, that to just get a nut?
For a moment.
Really?
For a moment.
That's it? He wants you to have eternal life and you're so addicted to a nut that you can't even see it.
Jesus.
That's crazy.
That's crazy.
But that's where we are.
Jay said,
So what would it look like? Or what does it mean? Or what would God have us do in giving each other grace?
Ah, I like that question.
Like, what does that, because if grace is God's gift that he gives.
Define each other. Friends, randoms, Christians.
Okay, so there's levels.
Because the way I give a non-Christian grace is different the way 100%. I give a Christian grace, right? Like, if a non-Christian is out here, you know, doing what they do, I'm not gonna be like, look at you over here sinning.
It's like
they don't have the Holy Spirit. Like, of course. Yeah. So, like, grace with them is recognizing their position and where they are, and that what they possibly need is not just merely me to just pick out at the sins, but for me to present Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. That's the grace. But then the Christian friend is like, okay, you've confessed Jesus. You have a level of knowledge and information that this person doesn't have. So there's an accountability to our relationship that I have to, like, lean into. But the grace is, I'm not gonna beat you up in holding you accountable. Mm-hmm. I'm not even gonna be like, you know how some people, they think accountability is always calling out your sin? That actually creates despair.
No, for sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so grace is recognizing, like, no, there's a way of, like, let me remove the plank in my eye so I can see how to help my sister remove the plank in her eye. That's grace. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to take care of you in how I build you up. Like, I want to nurture you. That's what we fail at, I think, as Black people sometimes. Because we ain't been nurtured well. So even in our discipleship and our evangelism and our friendship, we don't nurture people towards faith. We beat them over the head. And that isn't to say that sometimes you got to be bold and direct. There's a place for that. But even discerning the place is seeking God before you even have the conversation. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? Wow. Do you want me to say anything at all? That. And asking him if you want me to say something is me submitting my will, because some people say, I'm not going to say nothing because da, da, da. No, that's timidity. That's not courage. You didn't even ask God if he wanted you to do it. You submitted to your own desires, right? Jesus. But then you got some people, all they want to do is say something because it makes you feel good to rebuke people all the time.
Yeah.
So even the balance of that is,
yeah,
I need God's grace to know how to be gracious.
I feel like you've solved so many very complex problems in one
in a matter
and,
of
and going back to the very first thing that you said, did you even consider him?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be helpful for anyone to start.
Yeah.
They're, because we have a lot of people
that are newly on their journey.
Yeah, this is new to them.
Yeah.
And for in wild ways, this feels new to me where I am.
Yeah.
This feels new. So to confirm for me, or to affirm me in, you are still going to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that's an indication in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
And to present the question of, have you considered him?
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
And then, have you considered him? And then what in that, what in his word confirms?
Yes.
That.
Because yeah. It's like prayer, dependence, all of that holds hand with scripture. You know what I'm saying? Because if I don't know God, I'm going to be less prone to talking to him, asking him certain questions, trusting him for certain things because he's a stranger. I'm not going to talk. I don't talk to strangers personally. Mm-hmm. I don't trust strangers. But the more I know about him, the more inclined I am to give him certain things, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, if you spend time in his word and be careful of the people y'all listen to. Because if we're listening to preachers and teachers who make the word always about us, you're going to read the word that way. Mm. And so what happens is if you read...
Can you give us an example?
let me say, when Jesus is sleep... What, give me one. Jesus is asleep on the boat and the disciples are like, hey, Jesus... No. So a real common one. Speak those things that are not as if they were, right? People use that verse to say, yeah, you need to speak, you know, health. You need to speak wealth over yourself. You need to speak this. Okay. Contextually, he's talking about Abraham and how Abraham believed God for his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And because he believed God, what he believed about God is that God was able to speak those things that are not as if they were, meaning he trusted a God who was able to create something from nothing. The text isn't about us. The text is about the nature of God that Abraham trusted in. But see how we flip it and make it about us.
We need to speak things as though they're not as other. Instead of trusting the one who can speak things that are not as
other. How did you make that about you?
Got it.
But we're... I call it a self-centered hermeneutic. Hermeneutic is a word to say this is how you interpret the Bible, right? If you always think about yourself... what your purpose, your season, what you gonna do, then when you read the Bible, if you go into the Bible, only go into the Bible for yourself, then you miss what it's telling you about God himself, right? So I remember one time I was like, I'm gonna go through the Psalms. I was like 20 and circle everything it has to say about God. Because we go to the Psalms because it's emotional.
For yeah, sure. 100%. Yeah. I feel
he's a refuge. Okay, I'm going through this, But have you meditated on he's a refuge? With that.
Yeah.
Like he is the strength of my heart. Oh, my heart is so da-da-da. Stop thinking about you. What does it mean for him to be the strength? Right. And so I think when you go to the Bible to look at God and observe what the text is saying about God, what the narratives are saying about God, what the prophets are saying about God, what the epistles are saying about God, what it does is it deepens your understanding so that you have more context for your faith.
Yeah.
Wow. Sometimes our faith is weak because we just don't know him.
Yeah. Wow.
We're not looking for him in the text. We're just trying to calm our own. Like the Bible is not a way to cope. You don't go here so you can feel better about yourself.
Wow.
Because oftentimes it won't make you feel better about yourself because it's a sword.
Yeah, wow. It makes me feel worse.
But what makes you feel better when you realize, but you work all things together for the good of those who love. But you have to read
that.
To know that.
So I can, but that's a rabbit hole I can go down.
Well, tell us about your devotion, because all this is in a book that she is about to put out. So y'all need to get it. She got a daily devotion.
I do.
That is coming out.
It's 60 days.
Okay.
Of
mine gonna be 365. I'm gonna just read it over and over.
They wanted me to do. I was like, I don't know that much stuff, but I was like, I can do 2 months. That's all I got. But it's basically, I wanted to create a devotional that centered God and Jesus and the scriptures, using different passages and narratives where we can first and foremost see God and then see ourselves. But I didn't write it for it to be a solid replacement for the Bible. I wrote it to complement your time in the Bible. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I just, my words are really, they're not that, they won't change your life. Like the Lord will.
I wouldn't say that.
Insofar as what I say is God's word, that's what changes. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily me. But I think like it, I wanted to write a devotional that could complement your time in the scriptures in a very God-centric way. Because I'm going to say it again. I just have to say it because it's getting on my nerves.
I'm saying it.
Be careful of listening to people who make the Bible all about you. Mm-hmm. It is going to ruin your life. It's going to ruin your life because you were made for God. Colossians says all things were made through him and for him.
Yeah.
Including you.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, then we already think about ourselves too much.
That's what I'm saying. But we are in a self-consumed, like how do you combat that when we live in a society right now where it's all about you, it's all about how you feel, it's all about your boundaries and your, it's all about how you know what makes you comfortable and what makes you you know, it's all about being less of being uncomfortable. I feel like when your faith is all about being uncomfortable,
I think awareness is one. So even this conversation, like I can see some people like, oh, I didn't that I read the Bible and only thought about me when I was reading the Bible. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So I think calling it out and saying, hey, this is a tendency in the church now for us to be very self-centered in our devotions, in our time of the word, in our sermons. And so people are now aware of it. And then you push against it, right? So even something as small as I have to make the conscious decision to post and not consume the comments. Why? Because the comments are about me. One, half the time they're discouraging, or they puff me up, right?
Yeah.
And so it reinforces either insecurity or ego, right?
Wow.
Make sure you have friends that y'all are sometimes having conversations, not about each other, but about the Lord, right? Mm. Like it's praying. And even when you pray, praying for other people, other communities, other nations, other countries, not even just having a self-focused agenda in prayer, which is fine. But I think adding to that like you're being generous with your prayer time to consider other people.
For sure.
All of that creates like a heart posture where you stop looking outside of yourself because it's not good for us. That's why we're so sad. That's why we're so depressed, so anxious, because we're looking this way. Even when we're dealing with our sins, it's like, oh, I'm so selfish. I'm so sinful. I'm so this. You're still looking at yourself.
Ooh, focus on him.
We
just focus on him.
Acknowledge the sin. I am selfish, but he's not.
Yeah.
And he can work through me to be as selfless as I possibly can.
Yeah. When does your devotion come out?
October 3rd.
Can I get it? Advanced copy?
I'll send to you. I don't even have one, but when I get it, I'll send to you.
I can't wait.
October 3rd. Where can I get it?
October 3rd.
Everywhere.
You can pre-order it on Amazon right now.
Everywhere. Walmart, Target.
You can pre-order it right now on Amazon and
Everywhere.
Okay.
Amazon, you know, you're going to get there early. So
2-day shipping.
Yeah. That's it.
Prime.
You can really get it that overnight click. You can be like tomorrow.
$2.99.
What?
Want it? Have paid more for shipping for worse.
Can I encourage y'all? Can I say something?
Yes.
Because I feel like I encourage you. I don't know. I feel like I encourage you too.
You have solved.
No, I mean privately. Because I reached out to you, and because I have been watching y'all. I just be watching people low key, but not liking. And
why you be doing that, Jay?
Because I don't want to publicly affirm until I feel like what I'm saying is solid. And I was like, I feel like they actually out here. Really trying to love Jesus. You know
what I'm really trying.
Really, and I sat in my closet and pray. I prayed for you specifically.
Oh my God.
About 6 or 7 months ago. And then I just want to say that I appreciate one, the amount of courage it takes to pursue Jesus in this culture. Like, it takes a lot of courage to be willing to like love him and read about him and to go to a local church and to worship. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot of courage to say that out loud on a mic. Right. And so I just want to acknowledge and affirm what y'all are doing is beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Now, if you start going off the rails.
September 4th, 2023.
Yeah.
2023.
But there's grace.
Thank you so much.
Somewhere.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks for praying for me.
No problem.
What did you say?
She said, "Well, come take me back there and pray
for
me now. Do it in front of me.
I need you to touch my
forehead.
I
definitely prayed.
Cause you know the Lord for real.
Oh man,
we gotta come in agreement physically.
Oh, like to touch?
I need you. Yeah. Can you do this at the?
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I need some of that holy.
I need to touch.
Hand in hand.
Okay.
Go ahead.
That's fine.
That's fine. Call her.
I know. I've had to send that text of you. I said, so when you said that I could text you,
do you mean, okay, now?
I asked her that. Yeah. I said, you told me that I could use it, your number. So hi, it's me. I'm using it. I have questions.
You send her the screenshot. For sure. You said it right here.
And
no, you definitely referenced.
Yeah, I did reference
what I said.
And I will be annoying. And I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
I'm
a very curious person. And so I appreciate curiosity in people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jackie's been amazing.
You're so dope.
I hope for many, many more conversations like this.
All right.
You can come back anytime.
No problem.
You can have part 2.
All right.
Sure.
You can have a different hat.
So I don't want to be here.
She said, yeah, for sure.
Wow. You hit my hat too?
Well, I thought
it was when I saw the back.
Okay.
When I saw the back, that was crazy.
Okay. Well, don't look at the back. What the front look like? The front is like, too many Glockies. No? Okay. Well, what do you know for sure?
I'm sure we can probably get a hat here before we have to record the next episode. We can get something here.
No, I'm wearing this for 3 episodes in a row.
And you're proud of that.
Proud. No.
That's something you can pray for me for.
What?
This her? This psychopath.
God did it. I didn't do it.
No, you
didn't. So pray for me.
Pray
for her. Because this is
pray
not easy. It's not. It's
pray
not easy.
For us.
Pray for us. We're pray two us. Psychopaths in different directions. You know what I'm saying? Like
that's scary.
It is. It's scary that you have this dynamic of two crazy people.
How long y'all known each other?
Over 20 years.
20 years. Over 20 like years now. We've been saying 20 years for the past 3 years.
5 years.
It's 20 years.
It's like, well, okay.
Y'all are growing up. Y'all are maturing.
You've been doing KFS for 20 years, so something's going on.
You've been doing this for 2, and you've been saying 20 since y'all started.
Yeah, over 20 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
6th grade. My little button nose.
That's sweet.
I saw that nose from across that elementary, and I said, that is my friend.
Have you been dreaming of starting a podcast just like this one and you haven't been able to figure out how to do it? Don't let the fear of the unknown stop you from using your voice, your story, and your expertise in your field to impact the world. I'm Carla Womaris, and I have helped over 800 people that look and sound just like us launch their own podcast. I'm also the producer of the Know For Sure podcast and many of your favorite pods. I have a special offer for the Know For Sure listeners. 50% off my signature course, Launch Your Podcast in 30 Days, is the exact same blueprint and formula that I used to launch and produce Know For Sure. You'll learn how to go from idea to launch in 30 days, including recording, editing, publishing your show to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, and all the platforms. And of course, how to monetize your show. Visit ideatolaunchpodcast.com today and use code KFS50 for the self-paced course. I'm looking forward to welcoming you to the Idea to Launch podcast family.
And now we're here.
And now look at us.
Jesus, fighting demonic spirits.
Just pray for us.
Please pray. Please, pray y'all. Please. And please.
No, I'm dead ass.
I'm dead ass. We was pray for there. Us. The way she was praying, I said, thank you, Lord. And I rebuke you, Satan. Please pray, y'all.
You have to have people that pray for you.
Pray if you know now, like, seriously, the Lord.
No. Yeah, don't be.
Okay, never mind.
If you praying to Oshua and all that, whatever. Don't pray
rocks.
To them. I don't care who it is. If it ain't Jesus, don't do it.
I need the
if
way
you don't
the
know
truth
the man. Do not pray for me.
Ooh,
I appreciate. She said, ooh. I don't want those prayers.
Go ahead.
People be like sending thoughts and prayers. I don't want either. I don't want your thoughts, nor do I want your prayers.
Love and life.
I don't even want my own thoughts. So I damn sure don't want your thoughts.
I barely want my own thoughts.
I don't
thoughts.
Even want my thoughts sometimes.
No, for
I
sure.
I definitely don't need yours.
For sure.
Love and light.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't like that saying.
I don't like that.
I'm sorry. I just don't.
Because I'm on the verge of good luck. No, God bless. Please don't luck me. I ain't going to do nothing but stress me out. I don't want your luck.
I don't want your luck, and I don't want your grand rising.
Good luck, break a leg. Watch your tongue.
I don't want that.
Don't you ever break a leg, me.
Talk about kill it.
Talk all about right. I'm dying. All right, now.
All right. I don't. Seriously, you get to a point where
your
it's
turn
like I don't.
Is that serious? It just
I'm
is.
Not trying to over spiritualize things, I'm but if that's what keeps me
sane.
Then that's what keeps me. And you just gotta have to do it. Do not grand rise in me. This is the day the Lord has made. Do not grand rise in me.
I did grand rising for like a month.
I was like, this is not me. This is not
you. You was calling everybody king and queen?
I tried.
She probably go to that. You was going there to Celie's place, getting that raw food. I feel like people that say grand rising, they eat raw food all the time.
And sea moss.
Yeah.
I love sea moss.
I like sea moss, though.
And don't use banks.
Don't
and
use
don't
it.
Use what?
Banks.
Uh-huh.
It's like, all right. They are taking our money with you. Give me a minute to get out of this.
Get the shoebox out of your closet.
Credit union.
I like a good credit union. Customer service is nice.
That's good.
I like you know, sometimes intimate. When you get too big, you just rude.
Bank of
yeah. Like, Wells Fargo got so big and they were just out here wilding. Y'all were doing stuff. Mm-hmm.
Doing too much. Stuff.
The credit unions won't do that.
That's good to know.
Okay. No, we need to open up a credit union.
For sure. Look into your local credit union. Yeah.
For sure.
100%.
But before we end every episode, we mm-hmm. always say, what do you know for sure? KNOW after this episode. And what are you saying no to for sure after this episode? KNOW.
Oh, well, I thought you was doing it like a radio, how they do like the acronym. And I was like, is that there? Is there a hashtag? Like KMOV or something. So what do I know for mm-hmm. sure?
What do you know for sure? We always be like,
no and no.
It's going to sound really simple, but that God is good. Mm-hmm. And I have to clarify that because I think life for most people is very hard and very difficult and very complicated. Even internally, so people are going through stuff, man. And like, we're not even saying half publicly, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. it's like life is hard, but I have a greater awareness of God's goodness and how he's sustaining me and changing me through it. It's just like, oh, wow. Like I thought that I never knew I knew I didn't know him enough, but it's like, oh, there's so many levels to you.
Levels.
And I'm like tapping into another one. And I know it's way more because like I'm going to be alive for him. I just feel like God's going to make me be alive for a long time. And I don't want to, but.
Oh, man.
I just have that feeling that I'm going to live a long
don't
life.
Be here forever.
Which means there's a lot of suffering coming for me.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
That's I ask real. Him daily to take me.
Wow.
Not because.
What did you say?
I said I ask him often to like. You know,
to take you
speed
now.
Speed it up. Let me do what stop. You need me to do and get me out of here.
Take care of these
because
kids.
I'm going to fail.
No, you're
I
not.
Feel like if I keep going sometimes. It's real. I'm not, that's a real honest dialogue.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that it's idea hard. Of like, you're probably going to end up keeping me here a long time. Mm-hmm.
And then you know, like, you're in this space and then you're like, problems are a part of life.
Yeah.
I just have to make it through this and then go to the next problem. God.
It's true.
It's so frustrating. That is crazy to think about. It's
frustrating.
Like, oh, let's make it through this.
That's wild.
And then you look at all the people who have done great things for God and not in well.
But there's a lot that have.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been meditating on, and I've had to purposely be like, okay. But who did?
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
But who did? Like, there's some faithful saints.
Yeah.
Because even though Moses didn't go to the promised land, he was the one that stood with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration.
Yeah.
So even if he was unable to see God's glory, he still saw God's glory. Wow. So there was still good news. So that's beautiful.
How you ended it?
I had to like wrap it up. It's cute.
Okay, N-O. What are you saying no to for sure?
Saying no to.
Mm-hmm.
It got to be spiritual?
No. Or anything. You can be like cookies.
Well, you know she's not saying no to that. She said in the beginning she likes cakes. Because
I'm on a pies. I'm on a calorie deficit.
calorie deficit.
I don't know. I'm saying no to a lot. I don't know.
There's so much to say no to.
Because I'm like, I'm saying no to Drake's album. I'm saying no to Beyonce's concert. Would I secretly want
to
go?
She said, I'm saying no.
I've been saying no to that.
N-O, Romans 1. I'm saying no to, you know, continuing to buy stuff off Facebook. I'm saying no to, like, my kids' snacks and how they call my name at night. I'm saying no to being on Netflix all day long.
You're saying no to your kids saying your name at night.
No, to their snacks. And the call snacks the snacks communicate to me.
Oh, okay.
And I say no.
They say eat me.
Yeah. And I say no.
Nah,
I'm not doing that.
NAH. See you tomorrow.
So there's a lot I'm saying no to.
Okay,
I'm saying no to myself. Ooh. I'm saying no to pursuing fame. Ooh. I'm saying no.
I know
to,
that's right.
I'm saying Lord. No to opportunities and ambitions that would actually make me more famous and more wealthy. I'm saying no.
Because
if it'd take my soul, I don't want it. That's the real gag.
That's my no. I'm saying no to nothing that's taking my soul. My soul?
So,
oh God, I hate thinking about hell. Ooh, I can't think about that. Ooh, let's talk about my hat. Hell, baby, please take the fame. I will live under a bridge.
Do you really think you would do that?
To exchange for my soul?
She knows it's important.
Your soul?
But I feel like when you say it like that, people think that it can be this drastic, like, give me your, like, the enemy's like, give me your soul.
It's not sneaky.
It's like that. It's the frog in the pan, and it's the gradual turning
A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Little foxes. The little yeses.
Mm-mm. Please, Jesus, please. I'm trying.
So how do you know when to say no? I'm so sorry. We have to go. How do you know when to say no? Or how to recognize the little.
Well, the Bible says something about how we learn discernment, but I don't remember. It's somewhere in there where like how you learn discernment by like reading the Bible and knowing God's word. I think I'll say it this way. When I had the conversation with Tim Ross, we talked about how like when you first come to faith, you feel real sensitive to spiritual stuff, like stuff that like didn't used to bother you. It's like, oh, that's simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think, we don't recognize that our consciences have to be stewarded, right? And so like you have to steward that sensitivity. And so what I've seen is like when I constantly move in the direction of the spirit, the sensitivity grows or is maintained.
Mm-hmm.
But anytime, and I don't want to make it seem like every time you sin, like you ruin your conscience, but there are some deliberate things that the Lord is very clear for us not to do. And when you decide to do it, Romans 1 says you're suppressing the truth by your unrighteousness. And what that does, it does something to your mind where the yes becomes easier. And that's scary.
Wow.
That's scary. When what used to be a hard yes becomes an easier yes.
Wow.
And so I think you just have to be conscious of what has God told me to do that I keep saying no to. That's the area that your heart is hard in.
Yeah.
So just decide another way. It don't take much to soften your heart. That's how gracious grace God is. Just repentance is deciding against the old way. And so I'm going to say yes to God now. Right then, God starts to soften you.
Wow.
Like he's just good like that.
Wow.
So,
okay.
That's it.
Does that help?
Yeah, I'm not going to hell.
Because it's her soul.
Your soul.
Whole
soul. For money. Empty out my account, babe.
But you know that that's not easy, though.
I know.
You know that's not easy.
For sure.
I get what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. But it's just like,
saying. We got to be mindful.
You be finessed into it. Yeah. It's not like, oh, exchange.
Yeah.
I know. Jesus. Well, take it. Is what I'm saying.
That's what, yeah.
Take it. Take it. Pull my teeth out one by one.
Over my soul.
With no anesthesia.
My soul. Eternally? Like forever and ever and always and always. Gnawing your tongue off. A body built for destruction. He's going to give you a body that is made to be tortured forever and always and always and always and never ending. Men gnaw their tongues off. They're gnawing their tongues off. That's how painful that separation from him is.
From him.
And that's really what it is. It's separation from him.
Thank you, Lord. Separation. I don't want to be separated. That's what I know for sure. That's what I know.
That's good.
That's my no.
I like what you just did.
I know that.
I know and I'm saying.
I know and I'm saying no. To soul exchange, no. I know I don't need no separation.
That's great.
I know that. Ooh.
That was good.
I can't think about that.
Yeah. I know for sure that... actually, I don't know anything for sure right now. I know a lot of things. God is good and God is real. Those are the only things that I am confident in lately. Everything else, I don't freaking know. I don't freaking know.
Figure it out.
I don't know. my no is... What's my no?
Your eyebrows are raw. I don't even ever say raw. I've never said that.
Oh, you meant like good?
Fire. Mm. They are. She right. I'm looking at that little thing.
What's the difference? I feel like
I'm like,
they're always raw, right?
Right? Why are they usually not raw?
I'm like, this is the first time you guys noticed it.
Been friends for 20 years.
I've been doing this.
Yeah, they look great.
Thanks.
Is it wax?
Did I wax them?
Wax stick?
No. I have this like thing from NYX, NYX. And it's like, it molds your brows.
Yeah,
because my brows lay this way.
See, and they don't go that way. One little question. Is it a wax stick?
Okay, sorry. I like to give clarity.
No, for sure. What is your no?
I don't know. I'm just saying no to me. My no is to Megan. No, Megan. That's my no. All right. Jackie, thank you.
Thanks
for all that
you
do and all that you're doing.
All that you're doing. Thank you for coming on our platform.
Please keep spending time for us.
Thanks for praying for me in your closet. I don't know if
that sounds so spiritual now that I think about it.
It was very spiritual.
Oh my God.
I was in my closet.
I didn't appreciate that.
There's nowhere else to pray.
Sure. Especially when you have kids.
Yeah. Is that or the shower?
Wow. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, guys. Thank y'all for watching the Know For Sure podcast.
Make sure you follow.
And get her. And
get just whatever she's doing. Just follow
just
that.
Just do it.
Whatever she puts out,
support
it.
October 3rd.
She loves God.
Devotional. 60 days. Everywhere. Amazon.
Get it.
Or don't. I'm going to get it.
I'm getting it. I'm getting a few. I'm actually going
to.
We should give some away.
We should
give some away.
That's cool.
We should buy some for some people. What's a good.
I can just give y'all a box of them.
Okay.
That'd be easier.
Dope.
We could take them to the live show.
Something. Somebody's got to read it. We've got to save this nation. We've got to save ourselves. And we've got to do it together. We've got to come together.
We've got to do it together.
Things are going bad.
Haywire.
Oh, mercy.
Okay.
Love
you. Thank you guys. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
And follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.